Hello and welcome to the Impact Podcast from us at Impact Wales. We're Finn and Jane and every week we'll be bringing you lots of discussion, comments and opinion on everything research and education. We'll be talking professional learning, what's happening in the education world and everything in between to help you make a difference in your school.
Hello Jane.
Hello Finn.
Well, what a week.
What a week.
And we're recording today's podcast on Thursday of last week. This is coming out on Wednesday the 30th, but obviously we're recording it a few days early.
Yeah.
Because so much has happened this week.
Well, let's just hope that nothing else happens between now and next week, so those will have to record a special episode in between.
We will. Okay, so what are we talking about today?
Well, we're talking about, in the space of 24 hours, we've come across three rather large news items.
Yes.
That have come out, all relating to education here in Wales. And I think it's important that we sat down and thought about the first one which came out, but since then we've had to expand and develop and pull in the two new other items of news that have come out, which we'll go on to as we work through the podcast this morning.
Yeah, so today may be quite a long podcast. Yeah. And I'm already hungry.
Yeah, and it might be a bit of a winding,
yes,
podcast.
Yes.
We'll keep dipping back into one and the other, because we're just still trying to get our head around everything that's come out, and we spent our usual morning this morning just pulling things apart and having questions with each other.
Yeah.
And thinking about where on earth we're going to go with this.
I know, and you said to me before we started, I think we should kind of do it to camera and do it.
Yeah.
To say it feels like a news report here.
It is.
Doing our papers.
Because we know that'll be the tweet now, won't
it? If you're listening on the podcast, yeah. Sorry, we just did the two Ronnies kind of approach to this.
Well, it does feel a bit like that. It does feel a little bit surreal that,
yeah,
with everything. I was reading in the news, there was a Wales Online report yesterday about the situation in schools again with COVID.
Oh,
and everything that seems to be happening, and with Ukraine going on, it's just madness.
Absolute madness. I think us, as well as all of the teachers out there, all of the people working in schools, I think everybody is really desperate for Easter. I mean, the weather is fantastic. I booked myself a few days away last night, and I'm so excited just to have a break.
I've been bitten to pieces by the midges walking the dog over by the river. There we go.
So first of all, let's talk about what we've been doing this week. And I think top of that is we've been watching Omicron 2.0 taking hold in schools. Everybody seems to be saying how it's absolutely decimated schools. They're in a worse position than they've ever been in terms of attendance and staff absence. And
but that's not just here in Wales either, is it?
No.
Because we've got contacts with, you know, colleagues that we're working with in Scotland, two in particular,
yeah,
we've had contact with this week that are experiencing staffing levels that they've never really seen,
yeah,
or experienced before. And it is a crunch point. And, you know, a session that we were going to deliver this afternoon that we're looking at postponing because of the fact
got 20 staff,
20 staff, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So we really do feel for schools that, you know, amongst everything else, we're still entrenched.
Well, I think there is this feeling that, you know, I mean, we're no longer having to wear a mask around our office building. We're, you know, life feels in the rest of the world feels relatively normal.
Yeah.
I know there's stuff going on with the budget and, you know, Ukraine, et cetera. But it's a long time from literally 2 years ago today, where full lockdown was instituted in the UK. It feels a long way from that. And yet schools are open, but only in some places. Oh, my laptop will not stop pinging.
Well, today's date, we're recording this on the 24th, which is very apt when you think of it. You know, at this time last week, we were experiencing the first few days of the very first lockdown.
Sorry, you said this time last week.
That's where my brain is.
Time is just bizarre, isn't it? Okay, so we've been talking about other things this week as well.
I've still got my coffee.
Jane, you've finished off your assessment.
Well, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
I have just done 9 straight days of marking back to back.
Right.
On around everything else we're doing as well, on top of everything else we're doing as well. So I've got a little bit of a breather now for the next 2 days, and then I'm back into the refresh.
and you're doing for another week.
So that's my
okay.
And then I'm also item writing alongside of that.
So yes,
I'm going to sleep at some point in between there. But that's why I'm sort of talking gibberish today, because my brain is all over the place.
Well, and I've up to date. Can't say I'm finished, but I'm up to date with all the sketch note projects.
Because the other two came in today, which you've got to do. So I didn't tell you that this morning.
Oh, okay, okay. And we've been focusing on using grammar to develop the mechanics of writing, which has been fascinating. But it's the focus of today's podcast is the three announcements that were made this week. And the three announcements, let's just go through them. We had the Education Minister, Jeremy Miles, in the plenary yesterday, making an announcement on measures to close a disadvantage gap. And we had the National Academy of Educational Leadership here in Wales, the NAEL, publish its new online resource, Leading Professional Learning, which again, we'll talk about in detail in a minute. And then this morning, just before we were going to record the podcast, and we stopped and
there were a few words about oh, I think we might have to amend this podcast.
Yes. ESDIM published their report on consortia and LA support for schools to develop curriculum for Wales. Yeah. So three big things. So it's
very much all around professional learning again, because I know we come back to professional learning time and time again, because that's our bread and butter.
Yeah.
But I think it's quite telling.
I think there is a recognition that teachers' professional learning is front and centre. Teachers' professional learning is how Curriculum for Wales is going to get down. It's how the disadvantage gap is going to be closed. It is how leadership is going to be improved. Mm. So there is a recognition of its importance, but I think there still isn't a real focus on how to develop professional learning that actually has an impact. And I think as we go through those three announcements, it'll be really interesting to point out, honestly, I'm just going to put it out there. I became really obsessed with the NAEL resource yesterday. It was just frustration, real frustration. I'm dying for the day when we can sit down at the podcast and say, look at this. It's fantastic. You've got to use this. Everyone's got a line and look at this resource or look at this.
But we don't set out to criticise. No. We want to be really constructive and about what all of the there's some fantastic stuff out there.
Yeah.
But it's about identifying where it is, what it is.
Yeah.
And how useful it is for teachers and leaders in schools.
And we have done podcasts on those things. It's just that when the news pops up and this is available for teachers, and we know that it's going to be the expectation is that teachers are going to need to be looking at this and using this, we can't ignore it. So it's kind of out of our hands to a certain extent how positive or negative we can be on the podcast, but we really don't like being negative.
We did. I did have a little chuckle though to myself because I couldn't sleep Tuesday night, and I was just in bed scrolling through my phone as you do when you can't sleep.
Yeah.
At 3 a.m. in the morning, and I saw the NEAL. I think it must be on Facebook, I think.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, Philip would be interested in that. So I was just about to copy and paste the link and send it to your message. I thought, you might not appreciate that at 3 a.m. in the morning. I thought, I'll wait till the morning.
Yeah. So I got it in the morning, at 6 o'clock in the morning.
But I think that's where our head is at the moment. There is just so much going on and so much to read that I know we ping things back and forth to each other. But we've got the time to do it. We've got the time. We had the time this morning. We've got a whole morning, you know, to sit there and talk, you know, whatever time it's nearly 11:30 now this morning. Yeah. We've been in for a couple of hours and we've had the luxury that we had been able to do that because we hadn't had any diaried things to do.
Let's face it, with the situation currently in schools and this seeming kind of, it's almost been brushed under the carpet that is actually what's happening. You know, it's going to have a significant impact on the school's ability to improve the quality of teaching and learning, to prepare for Curriculum for Wales, to close the disadvantage gap. But it's also going to have a massive impact on whether teachers are willing to, whether head teachers, particularly leaders, are willing to engage with the news, the events, the announcements that are coming out. And I think genuinely they're not. They haven't got
I think space. It goes a lot deeper than that as well, because we're doing a session with the school in a couple of weeks. And we always do a pre-survey before that. The questions within that survey was, have you read the documentation for Welsh Government? Or are we talking about assessment, as we're doing in many schools at the moment?
Mm.
And the overwhelming response at the moment is, it's either one or two options, isn't it? It's no, haven't read it, or no, I've read some of it, but I don't understand it.
Yeah, yeah, because they don't have the time. So let's talk about the three announcements. Let's go over the minister's announcement in the plenary yesterday. Okay, so this is the Children and Young People and Education Committee wrote a report or a blog, kind of as a precursor to the announcement in the plenary, saying, look, how important this is and how important closing the disadvantage gap has become since COVID, because obviously the gap has widened. It's really significant, especially when you put that in the context of the PISA scores for Wales and how far down the league tables we are, and what that implies about the standards in classrooms.
Yeah. I also think, though, COVID has opened people's eyes to the disadvantage gap beyond those in education. I think it's been recognised now in a much wider sense than it has been before. And I think it's quite right that we're focusing on that.
So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go through the six bullet points that are detailed what was actually in his announcement about what Jeremy Miles and the Welsh Government are going to do over the next weeks, months, years, in order to close the disadvantage gap. And this is a summary of what he said, but any details are provided in what I'm going to say. So the first thing was, he's going to improve the quality of learning and teaching. The second thing, he's going to provide guidance for head teachers on how to deploy support staff. I'm just going to stop there. That first one, he's going to improve the quality of learning and teaching.
And how is he going to do that?
Didn't say.
Okay.
So the second one, guidance for head teachers on how to deploy support staff specifically for the disadvantage gap. And there's quite a theme running through this. There's lots of guidance. In his speech, he talked about PDG, the use of the funding within schools, pupil deprivation grant, and how, or pupil development grant it is now, and how schools use that money. And he wants that to be more researched informed. So he's going to require schools to share with Welsh Government their PDG plans and the measurement of any impacts that they have. Now, we're not sure whether the sharing the plans with Welsh Government actually means via consortia or whether it goes straight to Welsh Government. We're not really sure about that.
It's quite interesting, though, this measuring the impact statement. I know this is something we're going to come on to later with the Essendon, obviously. Joe Miles has seen the Essendon report prior to this, but that's a bit of a theme that runs through that as well.
Measuring the impact. I mean, I would just like to say that I remember back in 2013, actually, I was in my role as senior partner with the National Support Programme. I was actually delivering a training session for consortia staff, and the consortia staff were asking me back then, yes, but what's the impact of this? So consortia staff were aware of the fact that impact was, you know, measuring the impact of what you do was important back in 2013.
Yeah.
Doesn't look so they have actually moved on that far, but anyway, so we've got 3.84 million is to be provided for schools to employ more community engagement officers with a focus on attendance, which is very welcomed. I mean, that will make a difference. It will, in quote unquote, ensure that some children get back into school. There's also going to be a trial of community focused school managers, which will be interesting to see how that works. This is an interesting bullet point. We've got some ideas about this one. Jeremy Miles has also recognised that there are schools with leaders out there who do particularly well on closing the disadvantage gap. So they are going to identify a cohort of those leaders, head teachers and senior leaders, to become advisors to collaborate with Welsh Government on sharing practice with schools. And I noticed that the head of Rose Park Primary, John, and I'm sorry if I'm going to pronounce his surname incorrectly now, Keohane, I'm not sure, Keohane. He said that he was moving to Welsh Government as an advisor. Maybe that's the same process. It'd be interesting to see what happens with that.
Yes, and it'd be interesting to see what the structure of that's going to be and
how that's going to work. Yeah. Okay. But the general feel of this announcement, because we were really looking forward to this announcement, it's like, right, okay, well, we've got a significant issue. We've got real deprivation in terms of pupils' ability to access education. You know, more children than ever are out of school, more children than ever in the deprivation cohort are being affected. So what are we going to do about it? And it does feel a little bit like he's run out of both ideas and money.
One of the things I said this morning when we were talking about this, the community focused schools, is it something that's linked to this trial or this consultation about extending the school day?
Yeah.
It all seems to be linked. And, it, you know, yes, there's money available, but it's all the devil's in the detail, isn't it? It's how...
Well,
you can't just throw money at things and expect it to work if you don't have a clear rationale and a clear plan.
Well,
and know what you're going
to
do.
To be fair, I don't think he's actually throwing that much money at anything, because the only two numerical sums that he mentioned was this 3.84 million on community engagement officers and 20 million on the capital funding project, and that 20 million may be money that was already there. Yeah. So,
well, the head teacher and SLT advisors isn't going to come cheap, is it?
Yeah, but he didn't mention whether whether they're letting staff go in order to bring those in. You know, he didn't say there was extra money on those. But I think in the context of, you know, the UK, the Westminster government's budget statement from Sunak yesterday, I mean, I think really what we're seeing is the money's run out. Yeah,
we're heading into a very...
I think it's kind of the money's run out. We're in a really difficult position. This is the aftermath of the global pandemic. Yeah. We're just going to have to crack on.
Yeah.
And things are going to go... that we are going to have an effect, and it's not all going to be good. But I think Wales didn't start the pandemic in a good place educationally. We've got the additional pressure of the resources and time that's needed for Curriculum for Wales, which has to take away from time spent on closing the disadvantage gap. Yeah. So, you know, of all of the home countries, we are in a bit of a
but it's hole. Not always just looking and targeting those, you know, the PGT targeting those pupils that traditionally would be the EFSM pupils. There's also a raft of pupils that we have out there that sit just outside that
working poor.
And I think we've got to make sure that we're looking at all of our learners and all of our pupils and making sure that it's right for everybody.
I get really quite upset about this when I think about the fact that Wales had so much European money. Brexit, I'm sure, will have damaged funding in Wales. You know, all of the valley communities that really benefit from European funding that are no longer going to have that. And it's criminal. Anyway, so generally speaking, you could be forgiven for not hearing the minister's announcement or not recognising anything, because it really did feel like there wasn't anything to announce. I mean, okay, that's a massive understatement of what actually was announced. However, it wasn't anything that we felt of great import. There was very little other than, there was one
squib.
There was one section where he was talking about things that were going to be done over the coming weeks and months. And he basically just described Estyn's job. Yeah. You know? He just said, well, they'll inspect schools and they'll create thematic reports and they'll provide guidance. And so they'll carry on doing what they do. Anyway, so that wasn't what we hoped.
It's also recognising that, you know, September this year, that's all done and dusted. Schools know exactly what they're doing and that's where
6 months time we will have a new curriculum.
We will.
Okay, so the Esten report. The Esten report on the regional consortia and local authorities,
which came out this morning, when we're recording this, so.
Yes, yeah. Support for Curriculum for Wales development. There were 4 recommendations for the regional consortia and local authorities. And I think the local authorities were included in that because of the breakup of
area. Yeah.
Because Ceredigion and Neath of Talbot Swansea are doing things differently. Let's just go through each of those 4 recommendations and just talk about each one in turn, because I think that's really all this.
Can I just say that when we read this morning, I said, well, even if we knew this wasn't directed at consortia and local authorities, you could transplant these into a school.
It would be in special measures.
It would be, yeah. So
okay. Yeah, the recommendations are eye-opening. Recommendation 1. Regional consortia and local authorities should improve the quality and impact of the support for leaders to improve teaching and learning in their schools.
It's quite a big, that's
everything,
isn't it?
Everything. So improve how they support schools, the quality of that provision, but also make sure that it actually works as well. So I think that's a shocking indictment on the professional learning support that is available for schools through publicly funded bodies.
I think it ties in really nicely is not the right word, is it? Ties in with recommendation 2, which you can see that over the past few years, now that consortia seems to have changed the way they approach.
Recommendation 2 is improve the support across all subject disciplines.
Because I know that support has gone for some subjects.
Yeah.
And it's been amalgamated into AOLEs, or it's changed completely.
Well, it's amalgamated into AOLEs. We're seeing this happening in schools as well, where you get a faculty lead. So you've got, you know, language, literacy and communication. You've got the head of English is leading Welsh and modern foreign languages as well. And it's exactly the same in consortia. You've got, I don't know, a history specialist or a primary specialist. Yeah. Leading a whole AOLE for expressive arts or what have you. So it's. Okay, recommendation 3, provide practical professional learning opportunities that support leaders and teachers to understand better how they can design and deliver their curriculum. 6 months out from implementation,
What's more worrying is, all right, it's 6 months out, but it's how many years in?
Yeah. And what's really interesting, and I'm being the literacy specialist, or that I like to think myself a linguist, the first 2 recommendations are improve this, improve that. Recommendation 3 is provide.
Yeah.
It's not improve what you've got, it's actually do it.
It's not there.
So there isn't practical support for teachers and leaders to understand better how to think.
There's lots of guidance, and there's lots of case studies. Other schools,
theoretical
models, but I think that practical phrase, the practical professional learning opportunities, is one that's repeated by many people. And we had a conversation on Twitter with somebody where we need the practicals.
Our last podcast had quite a response on DMs. It was really interesting, but one in particular was talking about the lack of practical support available through their particular consortia. And it's so frustrating from our perspective to be listening to teachers and head teachers and senior leaders' real frustration, you know, that we can't do anything about it either, other than what we're already doing. And I think that it's everybody is so frustrated with the situation, because there's real evidence out there, and we're going to talk about it later on, but there is real evidence out there about practical professional learning, what it looks like. The Education Endowment Foundation report on effective professional learning has got 12 mechanisms that are part of professional learning, and it's active and it provides opportunities for staff to do something with their learning and all kinds of things. And it's so frustrating that despite the evidence being out there, Welsh Government are failing to use it. And I can't really say it any other way. Welsh Government, regional consortia and local authorities are failing to use the evidence that is freely available, that has been available for the last 6 months, if not longer, on how to do this.
Yeah.
And they're failing to do it.
How to use it in their own professional.
Okay. Recommendation four, improve evaluation processes so leaders and officers monitor the impact of support for curriculum reform and teaching.
So we're back to evaluating and measuring the impact again.
Yeah.
Which seems to be this thread.
Yeah. Do it and then check it's worked. Mm. If you haven't checked it's worked, then have you really done it? Okay. So recommendations 5, 6, and 7 are for the Welsh Government. Recommendation 5, consider how lessons learnt from Pioneer Schools programme, the Pioneer Schools programme, can influence future national projects.
Well, there's been quite a few reports out there, haven't there, about, you know, the Pioneer School process, what schools have found.
Whether it worked or not.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Pioneer School process really worked really well in terms of getting members of the profession to have an opportunity to put forward their views,
professional
about
discussion,
absolutely, and create a curriculum. And let's not underestimate the enormous amount of work that went into that, and that was a huge success. And the Eston report mentions what a success that those first few stages were, and how, you know, there were teething issues, but they dealt with them and they moved forward and they created the curriculum, and it was hugely successful. However, since the creation of these innovation schools, who were supposed to be implementing the curriculum for Wales in its entirety in their schools, this idea of sharing what they're doing, it hasn't come to the point at which schools are actually able to use that to actually move forward themselves. Yeah. You know, one of the things that Eston report mentioned was how the non-pioneers felt that the sharing from the pioneers actually wasn't useful. Mm. Not that it wasn't done, it was done, but that it wasn't useful for them in terms of what they should do next.
Context, isn't it?
Yeah, okay.
But this is very much recognising that, you know, maybe where things didn't work as well with the Pioneer programme, to make sure that, you know, how that is adapted and changed for anything going forward.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, that things have gone wrong, but we need to learn from the things that have gone wrong. So recommendation 6, clarify and streamline grant terms and conditions for professional learning and developing curriculum to enable the regional consortia better to evaluate their work. Now, I know there have been issues with grants going out to schools and the deadline being really short and schools then scrabbling around to find something to spend it on, as opposed to deciding what to do and then finding a grant to enable them to do that.
It's run the wrong way, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's a bigger issue in the system, that, you know, the funding comes from Westminster, then the funding goes to Welsh Government. It's always on quite a short timeline.
And it's going to be spent by this particular time, isn't it?
Okay. Recommendation 7, the last one, consider approaches to enable the regional consortia and local authorities better to evaluate the impact and outcomes of their work for supporting curriculum and teaching and be held to account for it.
So that's an extra little bit, isn't it, at the end?
I think the fact that regional consortia or local authorities are providing support and it's not having the impact that it should be having, that ultimately Welsh Government carried the can for that, because they should be holding consortia and Welsh and local authorities to account.
Well, it's linked to the fourth recommendation, isn't it, where, you know, local authorities and the consortia need to monitor the impact of their support for curriculum reform. And that's where it's coming from, because it's obviously not been monitored.
Well, it may well, and I'm sure it does actually, link to the fact that ERU broke up.
Yeah.
You know, Neith Patalbert looked at what ERU were doing and decided it wasn't good enough, and therefore they left. So, I mean, you know, what's more obvious result of a lack of accountability and a lack of quality have?
And we've talked very often, haven't we, about the disparity across the consortia and the disparity of the professional learning offer that you get in certain areas across Wales compared to others. And I think that is something that needs to be addressed.
I don't know where I read it now, but I read that the amount of time that had been spent recently within the ERU region by the new local authority support processes the conversations that needed to happen, the reorganisation that needed to happen, had actually taken away from the capacity they had to provide support. You know, they spent so long reorganising themselves that schools have missed out in the interim. And, you know, in comparison with, say, CSC, that seems to be working extremely well, that seems to be very organised, and EAS also is very organised. You know, the teachers and leaders in the Aero region must feel really quite disgruntled that they can't access the same level of support, the support, because they're so busy. You know,
and I think in this day and age of social media, you see a lot more that's going on across Wales as well.
So there's inequality, inequity, not just in the quality of teaching and learning for pupils, but there's also for teachers as well. So that's Estyn dealt with. So let's move on to the third announcement, the National Association for Educational Leadership resource, How to Lead Professional Learning. And this actually prompts us to talk about leading professional learning, because obviously this is something that we do on a day-to-day basis, is we help schools to create a leadership of professional learning within their school. So we kind of get that ball rolling and set in motion sort of sustained practices within the school, hopefully, that will make a difference.
Well, what was quite interesting is when you go on the NA, so I've got trouble. The NAEL website, is that they've looked at lots of different research papers.
Not all the research.
And they've looked at, so it's a little bit like a literature review, and they've come up with 8 hallmarks. And I know, as you were a literacy person, we've had this long discussion again this morning about the
language,
the word
matters.
Hallmark.
Words really, really matter. And it does feel interesting that they chose that terminology. But first of all, I just kind of wanted to tell the little story of how I went and had a look at this, because I went, the way I look at all of these things is, right, I am in the shoes of the people who would be using this. So I'm a head teacher, and I'm genuinely going in there saying, right, tell me how to lead professional learning. You know, I'm doing it okay, but I know I could be doing better, so tell me how to do it. So I go in, and it's a web page, and it's quite a nice, attractive website, nice colours, it's organised nicely, you know, there's a lot of white space, there's some language, go deeper, be inspired, make the connection, so it's all very slick. And they use the terminology hallmark. So what they've done is they've divided professional learning, the leadership of professional learning, into these 8 hallmarks. Now, a hallmark is a certification of a standard. So these are standards that have been certified as, is quality.
There's the stamp.
So here it is. But it tells me that it's gold or silver or whatever, but it doesn't actually tell me that much more else. It just says, this is what good quality looks like. So the whole resource is actually descriptive. Which it's not really procedural.
No.
It's not a process. It is a description of. So it's basically, look, this is what a good one looks like. Now you work out how to do it.
Yeah, there isn't that much of how to do it, is it? There's lots of examples. Mm-hmm. And there's case studies on there as well. And there's also related research papers.
Well, this is it. Under each hallmark, you've got the go deeper option, and you can go down and have a look at case studies, as you say, and research papers. But the research papers, okay. I've done a little bit of digging, and my understanding of this resource and its provenance, where it's come from, is that Professor Ken Jones, who's a former academic, he titles himself as a senior consultant, private consultant for professional learning and development, working with University of Wales Trinity St David. He is also the chair of the editorial board of a journal, Professional Development in Education, which figures highly in the research papers, but it is his paper, Professor Gunn Jones' key paper, that underpins this whole resource. It is his paper that actually identifies these 8 hallmarks, and his paper, as far as I understand it, is a literature review. It's not like he's carried out some research, you know, a trial. And I don't want to denigrate research, because research is incredibly important. It's that his research paper seems to be the sole source of these 8 hallmarks and the whole resource. And as I say, his journal, the Professional Development in Education, there's also ESTIN, Welsh Government, OECD, are cited as research. Yeah. We've also got research from University of London, UCL, we've got ASCL, Glasgow University, the Collective Ed working papers, which are really, really good. But what's interesting is when you delve down into these research papers, quite a lot of them are paid for access. And it doesn't look as though you can even access them through the EWC. You get their abstract only, but you don't get the actual paper, which is really frustrating. It's really, really frustrating. Case in point, Professor Jones actually cites a research paper, Kennedy 2014, and says about it, the different models of CPD. So Kennedy has identified these several different models of CPD. And I'm quoting here from Professor Ken Jones's research paper. Her models of CPD are useful to school leaders in examining the variety of approaches that exist or that may need to exist within and across schools and the purposes they might serve. So I went, that would be really, really good to look at. So I went and there's the national resource. Then I went down to the paper that underpins this. Then I went down and tried to find the paper that he mentions that provides these models, pay for access only. And I just thought, well, why didn't somebody lift those models, put them into a resource and explain them with the research? That's what research.
It's a bit like a treasure hunt, isn't it?
Oh, so frustrating. You know, it just strikes me that research-informed professional learning is professional learning that is not only uses the best bets for, you know, is talking about things that are research-informed, but is provided in a way that actually
uses the research.
I mean, it's like walking. You had a really good thing. It's a good analogy. It's like me walking into an English classroom and saying, "Right, kids, we're going to learn Macbeth today. Here's the play. There's your copy of the play. There's York notes on it. Oh, and there's a website here with loads of.
If you want to go deeper,
just go and have a look at that. Right, crack on. Tell me what you learned.
Yeah,
you know, that's not learning. That's not teaching and learning. That's not professional teaching for professional learning. And exactly the same situation.
It's
here.
Got to get to the crux of it is that when you're looking at professional learning, you treat it as teaching and learning. And as you would do for pupils in the classroom, professional learning as an adult should have the same attributes as you would use.
Do you know, it's funny that we should say all these things because the 8 hallmarks, the first one is professional learning is learning.
Yeah.
Well, it's why haven't you, you know, put your mouth where your money is or actually follow your own advice and create this resource in the model of effective professional learning. Everyone is a learner. Well, treat them like learners then. Treat them like people who have to carry out tasks, who need prompts, who need templates to complete, who need to have knowledge base. Yeah. You know, not expect them to dig the knowledge out for themselves. Provide the knowledge of the important elements.
It's not inquiry learning. So.
No, I to be honest, I'm not going to go through the rest of the hallmarks. You know, if you're really interested, you can go and have a look at those yourself. But I think the one thing to really mention about this is that there's been, as we've just talked about at the beginning of the podcast, Education Endowment Foundation put out a really well-resourced and well-researched effective professional learning report in October the 8th, 2021. Not that I'm looking at detail, a full 6 months.
We did a podcast on that as well.
We did a full 6 months before this resource was published and it's not mentioned anywhere. Yeah.
I mean, they might have looked at it, but it's not referenced.
It's not referenced
at all.
It's not referenced at all. And I find it strange that it's not mentioned at all, given that it's all about professional learning. You know, if you are leading professional learning, then absolutely you should be mentioned. I mean, there's plenty of other references in this resource that are, you know, just as in the same context as the professional learning. They do, though, reference the research of Dr. Rachel Lofthouse, who I feel really has a interesting profile on Twitter. She recently said on Twitter, and I am quoting here from a recent tweet, "If we had less science of learning and a focus on children's rights, equality, thinking critically in complex circumstances and child adolescent development in teacher education, I think we'd have far fewer safeguarding scandals and more inclusive schools and more learning as a result." Which is...
There's not a lot to say about that, is there?
No, it's just... It's quite sad, actually, that, you know, an academic who is in a position of responsibility is actually setting the science of learning against safeguarding issues, yeah, as if they are...
Opposing things.
Yeah, and they're not, absolutely... The other thing that I think we might want to mention about the resource is some of the case studies.
Yeah, there's a lot of case studies under each of the headings when you dive deeper and go a little bit deeper to look at what schools are doing against each of those hallmarks.
Can I just go back to one of the recommendations from Estin? It is, consider how lessons learnt from the Pioneer Schools programme can influence future national projects. So we know that case studies from Pioneer Schools have not been useful in the curriculum development, and yet they're still using case studies in this national project.
And, you know, there's one of the hallmarks, which is about planning strategically over short, medium, longer terms, that actually specifies, where is it, I'm going to read it. School leaders believe that pupil-initiated learning is central to bringing about intrinsic motivation within the curriculum for Wales.
Just leave it there. Yeah, okay, so pupil-led learning. Okay, yeah. Engagement isn't... Yes, you have to recognise pupils' interests, but engagement is supporting them to be engaged with what they need to be engaged with.
And it might be that the way that's written doesn't necessarily represent what is going on, but I think reading it and interpreting it is something different.
But that's not the first time that we've seen that, seen case studies that actually contradict or go against Welsh Government guidance. You know, I don't think, you know, we're talking about measuring the quality and the impact of what's happening. So if you're measuring the quality of what's being provided, case studies that actually are breaking down the descriptions of learning into smaller sub-steps, which Welsh Government have been very clear about that shouldn't be happening. Those kinds of case studies should not be appearing on Welsh Government-funded websites, and yet they are.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we're really serious about this, we need to
have given that rubber stamp, isn't it, to say, look, this is acceptable.
Yeah, proper quality assurance, that's what we need. So, you know, that final word is about this research-informed support means providing professional learning, not just collecting some stuff together on a website.
It's not sharing information.
Sharing information, no. So there we go. Lovely, cheery picture for Wales.
it's not about leaving it up to staff
and
teachers to do it all. I think you wouldn't expect that to do with your pupils, so let's not do that with teachers.
Do you know, I have to say this, though. How many times have we said this? How many times has this been said, not just by us, but by plenty of other people out there? We got Estin saying it now as well. So how many times does this need to be heard? We've got Scotland.
How long until things have changed and start to move in the right direction?
Well, we've got Scotland, many, many reports, OECD report, the Kenmure report, all of these things are saying the same things. And we've got a government and a system in Wales that are saying, oh, we're listening. Yeah. We're making a difference.
But we're going to crack on doing what we've always done in the same way.
Okay.
Anyway.
So what we've got coming up this week.
We're not dissing it completely. I think there is some, it's worth going to have a look.
Yeah.
And as I said, it's a site that's going to be developed and added to. Let's wait and see.
And maybe some of those research reports are actually going to be made available for free. Okay. So. What we've got coming up, we've got two podcasts that we're recording this week,
which are going to go out after Easter.
They are. Well, one is one. One's going to be the fourth, but they're very excited about those two. We've got a busy week coming up as well. We've got 3 face-to-face sessions. Yeah,
let's hope COVID manages to keep them face-to-face.
Yeah, we've got assessment and the science of learning coming up. We've got
2 primary clusters working on assessment as well, which is really great.
We're exploring some international work, item writing for a curriculum abroad. We can't say any more about that at the moment, but that is very exciting.
Stepping a bit into the unknown, isn't it? But it's really exciting.
And it's very abroad.
Very hot abroad.
Yes. Okay. So we've also got our strategic planning meeting that we do hopefully every month. Sometimes it's a little bit longer than that, but that's our last thing before.
Yeah, it's always on a Friday.
Well, actually,
it's on a Thursday this time.
Because I'm going off all day.
Yeah.
And we've got one more podcast episode to listen to before the holidays. And I know that, you know, we're going to enjoy our Easter break. Let's hope the weather stays long enough for that. But I'm sure you all will enjoy your Easter break when it comes We've got one more to go before then.
Because it's lovely and sunny today. So let's just hope that the weather manages to last.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like the first day of school holidays in the summer, it rains.
Yeah, don't say that. Don't say that, Jen. It's beautiful out there. It's going to be fantastic.
I'm feeling positive.
Yes, yes. So,
even though a bit
jaded. Thank you once again for listening, and we will speak to you all soon.
Take care. Speak soon. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to make sure you don't miss future episodes. You can find us online at www.impact.wales. You can also follow us on social media. On Twitter, we're at Impact Wales. On Facebook and Instagram, search for Impact Wales. And on LinkedIn, search for Impact School Improvement.